You know, isn't it true that we sometimes forget? Isn't it true that sometimes our eyesight in faith grows dim? Isn't it? And so we gather together on Sunday mornings, and whenever we gather, we see each other every day, we think of each other every day, and we pray, we reach out. But isn't it true that when we gather together, we get to encourage each other? And what are we doing? We're saying, hey, remember, it's amazing grace. Remember, like the prophetic word said this morning, remember, let's rehearse, it's not you and your works, or me or my works, what I've done, what I haven't done. It's all about Him and who He is and what He's done. He's the one we praise. He's the one we worship. And as we gather together here at the end of the year, we look back over 2018, and some days we'd prefer to forget, but we look over all at 2018. We go, thank God His grace has seen me to this point. And we focus our faith forward to moving on to a brand new year so we can hang out a little bit more together and say, hey, remember, this is amazing grace.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
It's amazing. How many in the room, let's see a show of hands, wear glasses? How many in the room, if you didn't have your hands up on that one, wear contacts? Come on. All right. What's this? I can see you a little better now, Joseph. My friend Vern gave this to me several years ago because I arrived here in Port Ludlow as a 47-year-old. I'm now a 65-year-old, and several years ago, I started playing trombone. And Vern had mercy on me. He said, here, you old man, let me give this to you. And those little maps got more clear. Amazing grace. Yeah, thank God. You remember who invented the magnifying glass? They say, if you trace back into your history in the 1200s, that it was Roger Bacon. He was an English scholar, and he was a friar in the 1200s. Now, those of you who don't like to go back in history, just put Bacon and friar together. You can be happy with that. Glasses were developed after that. You find the history of glasses is pretty interesting, but according to the Vision Council of America, approximately 75% of adults use some sort of vision correction. About 64% of them wear eyeglasses, about 11% wear contact lenses, either exclusively or with glasses. Over half of all women, about 42% of all men, wear glasses. And as we get older, sometimes we have these, you know, you can't see the lines all the time, but bifocals or trifocals, thank God they haven't come up with quads yet. Or it'd be like this, you know. I guess it was like that in the 60s, wasn't it? Remember those big ones? But they help us see, and it used to be, you can go back to treatises or written materials for the 1300s, and in Italy, there were records of people that would take a bowl full of water and put it over the text, and they could see it better. And some people you find in the records where my whole life has been given back to me because I can now read every book I want to read and all of those things because our vision is helped. Our vision comes more into focus. And what you see is absolutely vital for your walk with Jesus. And how many also know that vision is sometimes different than eyesight? You know, Helen Keller and others who have been blind have absolutely incredible lives because they live according to a vision. Man, you think of Helen Keller, and I don't know how she did it. It was God's grace to us as what a testimony of life. But, you know, we have these corrective lenses, and sometimes, church, that's why we come to church, because the Lord fits us with a fresh set of corrective lenses to help us see. Vision. You think back. Some of you are old enough. I think, Joseph, you're the kid in the congregation. But how many remember he'll never be able to live it down? We just celebrated, really, the life of what some people say is the greatest one-term president we ever had in America, George H.W. Bush. But you remember famous quotes with some of these people, even if you didn't study his life. He was in the White House, I believe it was from 81 to 88, and then it's 89 to 93 as president. He was vice president with Ronald Reagan. But when he was running for president, he got tagged with something because he had difficulty articulating the vision that he wanted for America. And how many remember this statement when somebody was pressing him for his vision? He goes, yes, 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 the vision thing. And the vision thing became a problematic concern for him that followed him everywhere. Teddy Kennedy was getting ready to run for president. Many of you may not remember. If you Google it, you can go back to your YouTube version of a Roger Mudd interview that happened in 1980. And he asked very simply this question. Roger Mudd had this great voice, and he was a broadcaster on CBS. He says, so why do you want to be president? And Teddy Kennedy goes like this. And it was a long pause. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican here this morning. You'll know these things are true. He really could not articulate an answer to the question. Wow. The vision thing. Different than eyesight. What's the vision thing? By the way, eyesight can deteriorate, but vision never needs to wane. Your vision need never wane. Do you know what God is saying, and do you know what He's called you to? Can you see His vision? Let's go to the Scriptures this morning. Powerful Scripture, and I'm going to do this out of several different versions. If you look in your Bible, maybe you have a tablet, a phone with you. If you have your Bible program with you, there are Bibles in the back if you'd like one. I'm going to use several Scriptures this morning, but I really want to hang my head on this verse for you, and it's Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Out of the New King James, where there is no revelation, the people, finish it with me, would you? Cast off restraint. Out of the New American Standard Bible, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Watch this out of the others. New Living. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Now look, church, we kick the Bible out of our schools, we kick the Bible out of our society, and we wonder why we have chaos in America. Because the restraining influence that the Holy Spirit uses with the Word of God to guide us in morality and truth, the schoolmaster, the law, the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, the Word of God works in us with power and life and keeps us restrained, if you will. The Passion Translation, powerful. When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. Anybody in this room ever done that in your life? Okay, yeah, three honest people, yeah. My hand was up too, yeah. People quickly wander astray. But listen, but when you follow the revelation of the Word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. That sounds a little old-fashioned, but watch it out of the Message. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Wow. Where do you get your vision? Do you give yourself to what Jesus is showing and saying? Does your life, my life, line up like the plumb line? Remember in Amos? Like the plumb line with God's heart desire. What He's saying, what He wants us to do. Listen, you guys, I could talk all morning about current events. Do you realize there's a ministry that has, for 30 years, been around helping people who feel temptation with the homosexual lifestyle and helps them to understand what does the Bible say. They don't push it on people, but people contact them first. And they help them see what the Word of God says, help people with prayer and life and encouragement, discipleship in the Lord, and they turn with their life back forward to righteousness according to the Word of God. And it's been helping people for 30 years, and Apple just kicked them off their app. just took their app off, and so did Microsoft, because somebody from the LGBT community had really complained about a spirit of hatred. Now, what's so interesting to me, the group doesn't hate people, but what's so interesting is, if you're a preacher of righteousness, you've got to speak the truth according to the Word of God, but speak the truth in love. But you can't compromise on the Word of God. But here we are in a society that says tolerance. But the ones that are least tolerated are the Christians who believe what the Bible says. Love people. Speak the truth, but love people. Interesting. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is explaining to people that we're here in the body. We'd rather go to be with Jesus, but we still have these earthly bodies while we're away from our heavenly dwelling. But it's only temporary. Remember, your afflictions are short-term in light of the reality of eternity. Now, some of you could look at me and say, you don't know my problems. I get that. I understand. But really, overall, what we go through is short-term in light of eternity. But vision grips Paul's heart. And he keeps building, he keeps moving, he keeps reaching out to people, leading people to Jesus, keeps building churches. And he's, remember, Paul goes through it all, right? He's stoned, he's left for dead, he's shipwrecked, and people put him down everywhere he goes. They beat him with stripes, the Bible says, and he keeps going. And why does Paul keep going? Because of this. Vision burns in his heart. And the vision is not just a what, the vision is the who. Jesus is burning in Paul's heart. Come on, who's burning in your heart this morning? Jesus, is he hot and on fire in your heart this morning? Lord, I don't know what life next brings. All I know is you're in charge of life. And I want you with all of my heart. I want to please you. I want to love you. I want to do what you want me to do. And Lord, I wish it was always easy, but I know you're always in charge. Amen? Amen? So I want to talk this morning about set your heart, and we're going to begin with set your determination. I'm going to share three simple points this morning. Number one, set your determination. Determined saints press forward. Yes, discouragement and problems come, issues come, but how many know the Bible says, His grace is sufficient for me? Come on, say it with me. His grace is sufficient for me. And that verse was given to Paul as a word of the Lord when he had this affliction. Now, people don't fully know, according to the scripture, what that affliction was. Many of us believe, and commentaries will typically concur, that it probably had to do with his eyesight, because he has this section in scripture where he says, I know you would have gladly plucked out your own eyes to give them to me. So some people think it was that. Other people think it was malaria or different diseases he may have caught in his many travels. But the issue was, he sought God for healing and sought God for healing and sought God for healing. And finally, the Holy Spirit speaks to Paul as he's broken in heart about this. And he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, we believe in healing, but we have our dear precious friend Jeannie Fuller really suffering right now. And prayers have gone up to heaven, and we prayed for Cease, and we've prayed for others who have passed on to be with the Lord, your wife, Joseph, and others in the room, spouses, friends, family. But Jesus knows our times. Our time is in His hands. And He chooses sometimes to heal ultimately in eternity. I have my first wife of 24 years is dancing before the Lord in heaven. Pastor Carl, others. You know what we get to look forward to? We're going to join that party someday. Because when we pass, we know exactly where we're going. We're going to see Jesus face to face, and there'll be a great reunion. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you, surrender your life to Him. He loves you so much. It's an amazing grace, and He will save your soul so you know exactly where you're going when your time on this earth comes to a conclusion. But His grace is sufficient. He's embraced me. He's enabled me. He's empowered me. Us. To walk with Him, and He's always with us. Do you believe that's true? Yes. He is always with us. And it's not dependent on circumstance. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 is powerful, and it says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. Out of the New King James, Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." King David was surrounded by enemies when this verse came rolling out of his spirit, because his Lord and his walk with God wasn't dependent on his circumstances. No matter what happened, he said, "God, my heart's yours. It's fixed. I'll sing and I'll give praise." We just saw, maybe you did too, on the newscast the other night about a blind swimming coach, an assistant coach at a college team who's 25 years old. He is one of the best swimming coaches in college careers. When he arrived, they thought, he can't do anything. He's blind. He learns the sound of every single swimmer, and they showed it on television. He walked around without the use of a cane. He walked from one side of the pool to the other, and he was calling out, "This person, now set your hand differently. Remember, I've taught you about your hand. Oh, come on, you need to do your strokes a little." He's doing it all by sound. He is not limited by his circumstances, but he is living his life for the Lord. And some of our circumstances are not easy, it's difficult. And some of us are facing issues of health or other issues. And God knows, set your heart, be determined, set your determination. I'm going on with Jesus. Come on, say it with me. I'm going on with Jesus. My heart is fixed, O Lord. Set your affection. Set your heart, set your determination rather, and set your affection. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, there's just a few phrases up there. Let me read it to you from the New King James, or the King James rather. "If you then be risen with Christ," you know the verses, "seek those things which where? Are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Let me read that from the Passion Version. "Yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm, and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm." Anybody can say amen? Life gets a little distracting at times. Man, it gets distracting when you stub your big toe on a sofa or a table. When you get a paper cut, it gets distracting. But there are a lot of issues, a lot of things, guys, even really important to us. Finances and health and people, friends, and all sorts of things can actually distract us. We need to keep those burdens for our friends and neighbors, but keep our heart focused on Jesus. Set your affection on things above. "Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ." May I give you some simple encouragement? As we stand here on December 30th, 2018, it's kind of amazing I remember the date, as we stand here on our last Sunday morning together before the end of this year, I want to give you some simple encouragement, and I want you to remember, I want you to repeat it back to me. And it goes like this: keep Jesus first. You say that with me? Keep Jesus first. Come on. Keep Jesus first. Your time in prayer, your time in the Word of God, your time gathering together in church. Oh, I don't need church. Oh, yeah. Church isn't a building. Church is the people. We need each other in the Lord. You know, if you see me walking sideways, you get to come up and bop me on the head and say, "Keep Jesus first." Yeah. I told you the story. Some of you have heard the story. I remember in college, and I was radically saved in a revival in my high school in the north end of Seattle when I was 16. And I knew from that time on I was going to go to WSU, major in radio broadcasting, and be in the ministry. And by the grace of God, I've been able to do that. And then added a little real estate career. And Dean worked with me. Thanks, buddy. I'm so grateful for you. But, lots of things happen. But I remember one particular time, it was a stressful time. I was up for 2 days straight getting ready for my finals. And I remember down the hall, there was this kid who was anything but saved. If you know what I mean. Anything but saved. And I was stressed. And then this guy down the hall, anything but saved, looks at me and goes, "Man, you need to go talk to the man. Because your attitude's not good." I'm sitting there going, "I'm being rebuked by a guy who doesn't even know the Lord." It's at times like that where you go, "I wonder if Jesus is trying to say something to me." Keep Jesus first. Keep him first. I said, keep Jesus first. You go, "This is simple preaching, Kev. Come on, I was ready for something complex this morning." That's about as complex as I'm going to get this morning. Keep Jesus first. Don't let the small stuff get you off course. I want to talk purposely about that for a moment, because the Bible says, don't let the little foxes spoil the vines. Come in and sneak away the grapes and kill your flock, kill your crop. Listen, church, every single one of us in this room, some of us hear a little better than others, but most of us have two ears, and there's lots of things that can fill those ears and those hearts. If it's gossip, resentment, backbiting, that's wicked, that's evil, that'll destroy your walk with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. So if that happens, you look at that person and say, "I love you. I love the person you're upset about. Go back, talk to them. That's what the Bible says. And I get to pray for both of you. But I'm not going to listen. I'm going to love." But stuff on TV or in the movies, how many know that ain't always health stuff? And the devil wants to destroy your soul. Keep Jesus first. Keep your heart right. Don't let the small stuff destroy your walk with the Lord. Galatians tells us in 6 verse 9 out of the New Living, let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Someone say amen or oh no. Amen. Point number 3, set your direction. Set your direction. Always move forward. Come on, church. Always move forward. I tell you, I'm so wired this way, I sometimes think about it, and then I shake myself and go, I don't even like to go and sit in the back of the ferry. Whatever direction the ferry's going in, I'd like to go sit in the front. If it's good weather, I'm almost hanging off the edge right out in the front of the bow. Face forward. Run to your destiny. He's got a plan. A purpose for you, for me. You go, "I'm retired." Well, his plan didn't retire. His calling on your life didn't retire. He's got people for you to reach and help for you to give and things for you to do and ways to serve and move forward into a new year with a new confidence. Someone say amen. Amen. Move into a new year with a new confidence. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended," Paul said, "but one thing I do." Come on, say it with me. "One thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." How many know the prize is Jesus himself? Either in this life, if he returns and we're still alive, or we'll see him face to face when we go to be with him. Out of the passion, "I have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead." Now, I thank God for every life and triumph and success and all that you've accomplished and all that we've been able to do. But Paul says it all pales in the face of Jesus as we move forward to seeing him. "I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus." Thank God. Thank God. Set your determination. Set your affection. Set your direction to move forward to your future. And set your heart for a new year. Your age doesn't matter. Come on, I said, your age doesn't matter. Moses' eye was not dimmed, the Bible says. He led the people through the wilderness, and Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 7, as he stood up on Mount Nebo, the Lord took him up, and he wouldn't let him lead the people into the next step. That was up to Joshua. But Moses went up, and God showed him supernaturally. You wouldn't have been able to see it, I'm sure, through all the natural eye. But he saw the promised land that God had promised, and he went up, and he saw way beyond what he could see in the natural. But the Bible tells us his eye wasn't dimmed. He was supernaturally held in the grip of God's vision. And then Joshua, his successor, set his determination. He set his affection. He set his direction in Joshua 24, verse 15. I want you to read it with me, please. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But you got a choice to make, Joshua said. But Grace Christian Center, everybody in the hearing of my voice this morning, whether it's in Vietnam or Taiwan or later on the computer or later on the video, it doesn't matter, wherever you are, no matter who you are, right here in this place this morning, you go, I was just going to casually go to church this morning. God sees you. God knows. And I'm so glad you're here. But you get a choice, just like all of us have a choice. This day, choose you who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What if it's not always easy? Since it won't always be easy, not what if, what will we do? Well, my choice is made. Well, wait a minute. What if your circumstances change? What if your health changes? What if life looks bleak? What if things happen in America and they don't always welcome your testimony? What if? And you look and you say, I appreciate the pain of that and the difficulty of that, and our hearts break for people going through that. But my choice is made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, say it with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As we finish this year, I'm going to ask you the same three questions that I ask every year at this time. Every year since planting this church, back as a tender-hearted boy of 47. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christian do you want to be? Oh God, I want to worship you and love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I want to finish my course with joy, along with Paul, who said, I've finished the course, I've run the race, I've done what he's called me to do to the best of my abilities. And when I blow it, I come under the blood of Jesus and I repent and I ask his mercy, and on we go, because, oh God, I'm not done till you're done with me. Amen. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Word only? Nominal? You know, there's all sorts of phrases they use for Christians nowadays. The nominal ones, barely even Christian, and or Christmas and Easter Christians. Well, okay, but God calls you to something more. What kind of Christian? And how you answer that leads to the answer to question number two, which is, what kind of church, therefore, do you want to have? Well, we just get together and we read a few poems, and every now and then our pastor jumps up and down, turns red in the face, and we sing a few songs and go home. Well, there's a lot more probably comfortable places you could do that. We're thrilled that you're here every week, week in, week out. We want to reach out and keep reaching out, but The determination of what kind of church we want to be is based on what kind of Christian we want to be. If I want to be a Christian with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, the answer comes from here. And this tells me then, therefore, what kind of church we're called to be. It's not casual. It's not anything goes. It's not your truth, my truth. It's nothing but His truth. So thank you, God. And you go, well, are you perfect in walking that out? Nope. But to the best of our abilities, as best as we can, we understand and try to apply His word to our hearts and lives as best as we can. And if we err in interpretation of Scripture, because we want to interpret it correctly, we attempt to err on the side of what will help me get as close to Him, as Pastor Sherry's favorite verse says, as I possibly can. Not what could I get away with and be okay, but how can I get as close to Jesus as I possibly can? Pastor Sherry, quote out your favorite verse. So what kind of Christian do you want to be? Thank you. Therefore, what kind of church do you want to be? And then the third question is, because of all that, and it could go number one, but what kind of Christianity do you want to live? I happen to be convinced that the heart of God is gracious toward all, but He has called us from His word to be devoted, consecrated, yielded, and surrendered to Jesus as Lord of all. I happen to believe that the things we might have done a year or two ago that we never even thought about, attitudes or things, all of a sudden He keeps growing us up. And with every Sunday, every day, He keeps polishing His diamond a little more. And we keep changing. Don't we? Yes. Come on, aren't you glad you're not the same as you were 20 years ago? Who can say thank God? Man, aren't you glad you aren't the same as you were when you were 16? Oh, thank God. How many spouses can say, I thank God my spouse isn't the same as he was yesterday? We want to keep growing and changing, don't we? Come on, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So how do we do it? Well, you know, as we stand at the end of 2018 and look to the new beginning of 2019, I'm saying what we're going to do this morning is live for Dad, set our, what? Determination. Set our, what? Our affection. And third, set our, what? Our direction. Live for Dad, D-A-D. Y'all get it? Everybody there? Everybody tracking with me? No? D-A-D, the first letter of each word. Set our determination, our affection, and our direction. Set your heart for Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? We're going to finish with Give Thanks again because we have so much to be grateful for. He is so good. And as we move into a new year, I urge and encourage you to keep running after the Lord. How many want to do that? Just keep running after Jesus. Isn't He worthy of our praise?
Okay, here we go.
He's good. Father, we thank You for the privilege we've had to spend this year together. We thank You for the privilege we've had to run after You together and to be recipients of Your grace together. Because, Lord, we couldn't do it on our own. But You've called us, You've redeemed us, and You keep us going. And, Lord, as we stand here this morning, we're just so grateful. So we give thanks with a grateful heart. And, Lord, as we go on to 2019, we dedicate ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank You for who You are and all that You have done. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray that You will have mercy on our land. And Lord, let great revival break out. Father, we pray for our churches, that truth will be preached from our pulpits, that hearts will respond. Lord, we pray for every person gathered here, that, Lord, even as we leave this place today, we will leave here with our hearts fixed more than ever, determined, with our affections set and our determination set and our direction set to run after you, Lord, more than ever. We love you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead. Amen. Happy New Year! Amen. Amen. Be released.